kids will be staying upstairs today. I guess this is the Sunday that it normally is the case, so that's the way it will be this morning. I don't have to tell you, this has been a very tragic week for the Zott family, for our church family, for Valley Christian School, and everyone who knew Owen. I have been asking and hearing many of you ask why. And perhaps some other questions like, how can we correlate this with a loving God? How could he call a couple like Mike and Aaron into the ministry and 2 months after Mike becomes pastor, their young son be taken in such a grievous way? Is this how a loving God treats those who respond to his call? If so, why would anyone want to be his disciple? Could not God have prevented this? If so, why didn't he? Is there something any of us could have done to prevent this? These are some of the questions that may have come to your minds and may or may not have been verbalized. And I don't pretend to have all the answers this morning. Over time, there will be clarity to some of the answers. And some may not be known until eternity. But I want us to consider some things we know this morning for sure. I want to consider, first of all, the character of God. God is love. Jesus made this statement before he ever went to the cross in John 15, verses 13 and 14. I don't have them on the overhead and I don't have an outline for you, but if you want to look at these later, you could jot the references down. John 15, 13 and 14. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. This is before Jesus went to the cross. And then he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. 1 John 4, 8 through 10 and 15 through 17. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Skipping to verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And he states it again, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. God and God in him. Secondly, about the character of God, God is light. 1 John 1. 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet live in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Love is a central characteristic of God. The Scripture says God is love. God is love. And Jesus said, no one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friend, and you are my friends. And he knew this shortly before he was to go to the cross. He knew what he was about to do. And then God is light, that we've already read the Scripture. In other words, he is the source of wisdom, knowledge, holiness, and happiness. In him there is no darkness at all. No ignorance, no imperfections, no sinfulness, no misery. I think right there someone ought to say amen. That's the God we're talking about. We also know the character of Satan. When tempting Eve to the original sin, we read in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, now the serpent, was Satan coming in the form of a serpent, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We see from these verses that Satan spoke half-truths to begin with, and then a total lie to follow. He said also, there's another verse I was reading here. Let me see. In John 8, 42 through 46. You'll have to bear with me. I haven't had a lot of sleep this week. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God. He was speaking this to the Pharisees that were questioning him. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus declared the devil to be a murderer and a liar and the father of lies. So knowing the character of God and knowing the character of Satan, there is no question who was the source of the deception that caused Owen to think in a time of weakness that this was the way out of his pain. It was from Satan and was pure evil. God had nothing to do with this tragedy. Nothing to do with this tragedy. It is important that we clearly establish this in our minds and hearts. The anger that rises up within us is legitimate anger. It just needs to be directed to the one who is the source of such evil. Another fact that we know is God can bring good out of evil. In Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We must be very careful here because this scripture is often misquoted and often misinterpreted. God does not cause evil things so He can make good come out of them. That's not what that verse says. It says He works in all things to bring good. Those things that may come in life may be decent things, and He will work those to good. They may be things that come from the hand of Satan, and even in those, He will turn them around and put them right back at Satan. And we see that example throughout Scripture. As we look at this event this week, I would say it's probably almost impossible for us to see that possibility in this event. I agree. But God is a God of the impossible. Consider Joseph for a moment. In Genesis chapter 37 through 45, you can read the account there. Most of you are very familiar with it. Remember that his brothers hated him and were going to kill him, but instead sold him as a slave. That was pure evil. But the Lord was with him, and he ended up being promoted over Potiphar's household. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attempted rape, and he was cast into prison. Pure evil. God had nothing to do with that. But the Lord was with him, was with Joseph, and he was placed over the whole prison. I want to tell you, at the moment that those things happened in Joseph's life, he did not see good. He saw hatred of his brothers. He experienced being sold as a slave by his brothers, hated by all of them. That was a hurtful time. But God was with him. And we need to recognize that Joseph did not lose faith in God. Though he could not understand, and he did not understand, he still hung on to the character of the God that we know. And then he languished in prison for quite some time. Pure evil. God had nothing to do with that, but God was with him. And when he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, he was placed second in command over all of Egypt to spare Israel and Egypt from destruction by famine. God worked in the midst of evil to bring out something that spared the lives of two nations. I want to look at one more example. The major example, the cross. Wicked men, under Satan's influence, mocked, beat, spit on, and crucified God's Son, Jesus. Although God's plan for salvation required Jesus to give his life, God did not initiate the wicked deeds of these men. He knew their father, Satan, would try to thwart his plan by killing his son. What Satan did not know was that by doing so, he helped accomplish God's plan. Satan thought he had won. Can you imagine at the time, you know the different events in Jesus' life, that he tried to tempt him, he tried to destroy him at the time of his birth. And he tried throughout Jesus' life. And can you imagine Satan's glee at getting him on the cross and watching him die? But we know 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. And by the very act that Satan did, he sealed his own doom. Because Jesus rose to eternal life, to give eternal life to all of us, anyone who would believe in him. And eventually, it hasn't been accomplished at this point. Satan is doomed, then why is he still doing all the things he's doing? I can't explain that. I don't know God's total picture. But I know that Satan is given freedom until the time when Christ comes back again. And when he comes back again, Satan will be thrown into the bottomless pit to never, ever destroy the life of a man again. Someone needs to say amen again. But I want to consider this. We can look at the character of God and the character of Satan, and we can see how God can work even in the evil things that would come our way. But our response is critical. Our response to what has happened to our pastor's family, at what has happened to our church, it's critical how we respond. The deception that caused Owen to make a momentary decision that took his life came straight from the hand of Satan. But Satan isn't through. He would somehow like to get us to blame God for what he has done. Satan is dancing with glee to see the pain and the grief he has inflicted on Owen's family and on us. I am fully convinced that our loving God and our Savior Jesus Christ, that Jesus is right now, this morning, weeping with Mike and Aaron. He wept as he saw his friends weeping when Lazarus' life was gone. I've often wondered at that scripture, why did Jesus weep when he knew what he was going to do? He was going to raise him up. I think he wept because he felt the emotion of all of those around him, and maybe he knew what was coming for him as well, and what it was going to cost him to give us life. But Jesus wept, and Jesus is weeping now. And I am already convinced that Jesus and God is working in this situation. He has already begun to work towards bringing something good out of this. And who knows what that will look like in the end. We're aware of one situation that has already began to unfold. A relationship that has been broken for a number of years. It started right here in this church. Is in the beginning process of being restored. And I can't tell you the details right now, but it's happening. And I'm sure that eventually you will hear the details, probably from Mike and Aaron. But I want to say this. There's nothing that would bring greater honor to Owen, to Mike, and Aaron, and family, and to God, than for each of us to join God in bringing great spiritual victory out of this terrible tragedy by committing ourselves anew, or perhaps for the first time, to being fully united in our pursuit of God and in His will and in our lives. If we truly want to see something phenomenal come out of something we can't undo, that's the key. And I fully believe there's nothing that would honor Owen's life or his parents more than to see this church, so to speak, be set on fire by God. Not literally. Set on fire by the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with that? We're going to close with prayer again this morning. But I want us to close and if you sense what I'm sensing, you sense you want to see that happen, and you sense that that is possible as we unite in our commitment to God and what He wants to do through us. And I want to tell you there's going to be a similar challenge to the students from Valley Christian School as we gather on next Saturday. Can you imagine if God had His way, what He wants to do with all the lives that will be touched by Owen? I don't think we can imagine what He would do. Let's commit ourselves to making that happen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to just ask, maybe some of you want to speak out in prayer. Pray silently, certainly all of us. But if some of you want to speak publicly with short prayers, to that effect, to your commitment, to your desire, to your blessing to Mike and Aaron, you can do that. And I'm going to ask Doug Batchelor if he would close after.